patalam esha hi padamulam. Patalam etasya hi padamulam. Patanti parshni prapade rasatalam. Patanti parshni prapade rasatalam. Mahatalam vishva shrijota gulpau. Mahatalam vishva shrijota gulpau. Talatalam vai purushasya jagne. Talatalam vai purushasya jagne. Patalam etasya hi padamulam. Patanti parshni prapade rasatalam. Mahatalam vishva shrijota gulpau. Talatalam vai purushasya yagye jagne. Please chant. Patalam etasya hi padamulam. Patanti parshni prapade rasatalam. Mahatalam vishva shrijota gulpau. Talatalam vai purushasya jagye. Patalam etasya hi padamulam. Patanti parshni prapade rasatalam. Mahatalam vishva shrijota gulpau. Tadlatalam vai purushasya jagye. Patalam etasya hi padamulam. Patanti parshni prapade rasatalam. Mahatalam vishva shrijota gulpau. Talatalam vai purushasya jagye. Patalam etasya hi padamulam. Patanti parshni prapade rasatalam. Mahatalam vishva shrijota gulpau. Talatalam vai purushasya jagye.
Anyone else from this side of the room?
Patalam etasya hi padamulam. Patanti parshni prapadye rasatalam. Mahatalam vishva shrijota gulpau. Talatalam vai purushasya jagye. Patalam.
The planets at the bottom of the universe.
Etasya
of his.
He
exactly.
Padamulam.
Soles of the feet.
Patanti.
They study it.
Parshni.
The heels.
Prapade.
The toes. Rasatalam.
Rasatalam.
The planets named Rasatala.
The planets named
Rasatala.
Mahatalam.
Mahatala. The planets named Mahatala.
The planets named Mahatala.
Vishvasrija.
Vishvasrija.
Of the creator of the universe.
Of the creator of the
universe.
Atta.
Thus. Gulpau.
Ankles.
Talatalam.
The
planet's names Talatala.
Vai,
as they are,
Purushasya,
of the gigantic person,
Jagye,
the shanks. So we got a lot of anatomy there. Sanskrit anatomy. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Persons who have realized it have studied that the planets known as Patala constitute the bottom of the feet of the universal form. And the heels and toes are the Rasatala planets. The ankles are the Mahatala planets. And his shanks constitute the Talatala planets. Ready to say that together? Persons who have realized it have studied that the planets known as Patala constitute the bottoms of the feet of the universal Lord. And the heels and toes are the Rasatala planets. The ankles are the Mahatala planets, and his shanks constitute the Talatala planets. Purport. Outside the bodily existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the manifested cosmic existence has no reality. So what did he just say there? Without looking at your screen? Okay. What, over here too? Okay. Everything's Krishna. And another way to say it? Everything comes from Krishna. And there's nothing outside of Krishna. Nothing exists outside of Krishna. Everything and anything of the manifested world rests on him, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. But that does not imply, here's the point too, that does not imply that everything and anything in the vision of a materialist is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So everything and anything rests on him, but it doesn't mean that anything and everything is him directly. You know the Sanskrit for that terminology? Achintya Beda, Abeda Tattva. And does somebody else know what that means? Achintya Beda and Abeda Tattva. Does somebody know what that means other than the persons who said it? Achintya, Shruti Shara. One and different. Can you expand on that a little bit more elaborate, like a whole sentence, can you say, of an explanation? You are correct. So you can go on and make it a whole sentence. You can do it. Yeah. Very good. Is that an easy concept to grasp? It's a little inconceivable that something is the same and yet it's different than the cause. So, okay, we'll go back here. I'm going to just start again. Outside the bodily existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the manifested cosmic creation has no reality. In other words, everything exists in the Lord. There's nothing outside of the Lord. Everything and anything of the manifested world rests on him, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Does anybody have that one verse memorized, please? Okay, very good. Now we really understand what 9.4 means. Can you please give us the translation? Oh, best of the Shruti Dars, who can memorize everything that they see. Brajahari. The universe is mine, unmanifested form, and... Do we have a Bhagavad Gita really handy? No. Yeah. You, can you look it up fast? 9-4, please. Just 9-4. Just so, he's doing a great job, but, you know. Everything rests in me, but I am not in them. But then there's another. Where's the one that says, Shute mani gana eva? 7-7. Shute mani gana eva, like pearls on a thread. That's all I know. I don't know much. But Baladeva's going to tell us 9-4. Okay, 9-4. Thank you, Prabhu. By me, in my unmanifest form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So here in these verses, thank you, these verses we're trying to get a grasp of an understanding of the impersonal conception of the Lord and also the superiority of the personal conception of the Lord. So, as been explained in the first canto, the Lord is understood in three phases of reality, three phases of existence. Brahman, the impersonal, unmanifested, all-pervading energy, that's Krishna also. As Prabhupada says, nothing exists outside of Krishna. So that energy, that's Krishna. Then there's the Paramatma realization. It's another step higher, understanding that that supreme energy is a person. It manifested in the heart of every living entity. Not just human beings, but every living being has spirit inside. And then Bhagavan means an understanding that, yes, God is all-pervading. He has that energy that sustains the universe. Yes, he's in the heart of every living entity, but he has his own existence simultaneously and separate from that. Yet Krishna is in our heart, but that's not his only, it's not his job. It's not his only activity that he's in the heart of every living entity. He has his existence in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan, where he's manifesting his pastimes and personality and loving relationships with his devotees. That's reality. And all these other stages of existence exist simultaneously, but, in my words, in a lesser stage of reality. Reality is Krishna in Vrindavan, herding the cows, relating with the gopas and the gopis and Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda and Radharani. That's reality. Unfortunately, since we left there, which was quite some time ago, our conception of reality becomes totally reversed. And we're thinking, this is reality, and that might exist, maybe, and a few people know about it only, and it's kind of like in the clouds, and, you know, we have a vague conception of that. But this is not reality, our existence as we see it. Yet at the same time, it is Krishna. It is Krishna's energy. So Prabhupada makes another point here, which is also very important. But that does not... Okay, everything and anything in the manifest world rests on him, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. But that does not imply that everything and anything in the vision of materialists is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is him, but it's not him. It is his energy, and he is present there, and it wouldn't exist, it wouldn't be here without his willing it and allowing it and his consciousness of it. But it's not him. He's separate. The conception, and it's not that, and some people, there's so many different types of misconceptions in the world, and some people who make some progress on the path of spiritual realization, they see everything as spirit, and then they worship everything as God. But that's also bogus. Okay. The conception of the universal form of the Lord gives a chance to the materialist to think of the Supreme Lord. That's another step to see the Lord and his creation, or let's say the creation, the universes, as part of the bodily form of the Lord, as this verse. So what in this verse, which planets, this exempt over here, you can't answer this question from here over, which planets were described as on the soles of the feet. Which planetary systems were described? Patala, thanks. Very good. Okay, so this conception of the universal form of the Lord, that these planets in the lower place in the universe, in the bottom of the universe, those are his feet, the next ones are on his heel, the next ones are on his toes, and then on his shanks, and then the next verses will describe the whole cosmic manifestation. It's real, but Krishna has a separate existence aside from that. Okay, again. The conception of the universal form of the Lord gives a chance to the materialist to think of the Supreme Lord, but the materialist must know for certain that his visualization of the world in a spirit of lording it over is not God realization. I'm going to read that again. The conception of the universal form of the Lord gives a chance to the materialist to think of the Supreme Lord. So that's one point the Prabhupada's making. That this understanding of the universal form of the Lord, as this chapter very correctly is entitled, the first step in God realization, is the beginning understanding. So that someone who is not accustomed to think of God and doesn't know much about God, they can at least appreciate that he has, that this universe is like the form of the Lord. There's the feet, there's different positions, and they can see that the whole universe is of the Supreme Lord. But then Prabhupada makes, what's the second point that he makes? As you all glance at the screen one more time, it's okay. What's the second point? This part of the room is not supposed to answer so quickly. Okay, now hang in. You sat here, that was your choice. Now you have to accept it. Now, excuse me. So what's the second point that was made in the sentence? First was the point. Okay, Clayton. That's okay. Even if you look at the screen, you have to like get it in your brain. It's okay. What's the misconception of that a materialist has that I have sitting here? That was one point a little bit before. It's okay. Look at the screen. Go ahead. Yeah, okay. So so someone who's in the material world, what's he thinking? Yeah, right. And that he's the Lord of everything that he surveys. That I can control. I'm the enjoyer, the Lord and the enjoyer. Whose position is that? You missed because you were looking down. Whose position is that? Krishna's position. That job's already taken. It's already taken. No one else can fill that position. We try though, right? Really hard. We try. But so then. We're just going slow today. Is that all right with you guys? So what was the first point in this sentence, the one that we just were just doing? First, he made two points. One was about what? This very sentence. This very one, yep. Yeah, that the materialist can see God in this universe, in the creation, as the universal form. But, and then what's the misconception that they have to give up, though? That they can lord it over. That's, yeah. And that's our challenge also. We have to give up that conception. How do we do that? You got it. And how else can we do that? Very good. Very good. And how do we engage everything in service of Krishna? How do we know to engage everything in the service of Krishna? Oh, that's good too. That's a step, but that's further down. Olivia? Change it. Okay, you're right. You're all correct. Krishna House Ki Jai. But how do you change your consciousness? I'll give you a hint. That's it. Yeah. You gotta hear. You've gotta hear transcendental sound vibration. Because otherwise we are hearing what's going on in our little mind. That's what my mind says all the time. It just goes over and over and over. Doesn't even finish a sentence. It just goes,
Okay. All right.
So we have to give up this conception of lording it over. The materialistic view of exploitation of the material resources is occasioned by the illusion of the external energy of the Lord. And as such, if anyone wants to realize the supreme truth by conceiving of the universal form of the Lord, he must cultivate a service attitude. What did he just say? In your own words. You can look at the screen, but I want to know in your own words. Now, there are some people that are very quiet here. I don't even know this nice devotee's name. What's your name, Prabhu? Alan? Would you like to say anything? Okay, but I'm going to talk to you later, so get ready, all right? All right. So what was that sentence? What does it mean in your own words? Anuradha, would you like to give us some? A little... Very good. Clayton? But, okay, I'm going to repeat that because Sunanda's working very hard in the kitchen. Yes, so Clayton's saying that first we have to realize, what did you say? The illusory energy of the Supreme Lord that makes us think that we can control. Okay. Now, what did he say about exploiting the energies? Who was that that said that? Was that you, Vaishnava? That said it comes by illusion? The fact that we want to exploit the material resources comes because of the illusory energy of the Lord. Yep. Anyone else you want to say? You're permitted to speak now over here. Anyone else would like to add? The service attitude is necessary even to understand the Virat Rupa. Yep. Right. And looking as God is everything is still not a relationship. And it means that you really don't understand. If you see it, and you don't see that we have some relationship to the Lord, and that relationship is in some form of service, you're not really seeing. It's only a smidgen of a realization. It's not a real realization. Real realization of the Lord means to understand I, even as insignificant and as teeny weeny as I am in relation to the Lord, I have a relationship with the Lord. A direct personal relationship with the Lord. And it's of service, somehow to render service in some way or another, some mood or mellow or other. Even as a friend, it's still rendering service to the Lord. Shruti Sagar?
I could understand how if someone sees God everywhere, he will realize that he has a relationship also.
How? Well, that the point is, unless he hears from the correct source, he won't see that there's a relationship of service. And that's the point, and that's stressed in many places. Unless you hear from the proper source. A point is that there are different stages in God realization. People learn to see God or they have realization of God in different ways. But unless they come to the point of actually seeing that they have a relationship with the Lord, it's not proper understanding. It's not correct. It's just a glimpse. And it's also that glimpse, oftentimes, unless, again, it's hearing from a bona fide source. It's not that anybody can just see God everywhere through their own mental concoction. You know, there's a process. Even the process of yoga, it's so disciplined. But we don't like that word or that practice in this day and age. We like to be free. We like to be independent. We like to express ourselves however we want, and that's so much stress. No rules, no boundaries, no regulations, just do it. You know, so many things. That's stress because we're just like have this aversity to discipline or accepting authority or anything. And therefore, so many people say so many things. I am God, you are God, we're all God. There's no God, this, that. They say so many things. And somebody, and all of those things that are said has some number of followers. And so in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that there's no way in the world that a person can come to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's eternal. He has an abode in Goloka Vrindavan. He and understand his activities by your own mental process. On your own, you'll never come to that conclusion. On your own, you'll never come to the conclusion that there's three understandings of reality, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. You'll never. It's impossible. You'll never come to that. That's why we have to hear from Vedic authorities, from the Parampara, because Sri Shapanishad explains, Prabhupada explains there, that the Vedic understanding, it's coming from beyond the universe. We, in this process of Krishna consciousness or this process of self-realization, we're accepting that there is perfect knowledge and it descends through representatives of the Lord or through the Lord Himself. It descends. It's not that we are trying to figure out what's going on by our own endeavor. That's material scientists. Material science, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to figure out the nature of the world by their own endeavor. Let me experiment here. Let me analyze. Let me get my microscope. Let me get my telescope. Let me analyze. Let me get my computer and analyze all the ingredients. And then let me try to find what's going on. And what they end up doing is it becoming advanced in confusion. I just made that up. They make what it seems like they make progress, this technological advancements, there's, you know, mechanical advancements, there's so much, you know, advancement in what? Comforts of the body, theoretical comforts of the body, or apparent comforts for the body, but where is the real advancement towards the kingdom of God? Somebody has a nice little sticker out there on their car that says, although we advance in technology, we lack in humanity. Whose car is that? Okay. Nice. Was that a quote from somebody that we know? Okay, thanks. Anyway, so just like one of the news headlines on Yahoo yesterday was about the sunspots, how the sunspots have now bewildered the scientists so much. So, of course, you know, I didn't read the whole thing. I only read a few little lines, and now I think I can tell you what it meant. But anyway, so they have been predicting the activity of the sun for decades, and their prediction was that the sunspots would gradually increase or something, something. But actually, it's doing exactly the opposite of what they predicted, and now they're kind of bewildered, and they don't really know, and they think it's a this and a that, and it's like they don't know. Advancing in confusion. It's good, right? Oh, sorry. Yeah, they're advancing in confusion. Just like even years ago, when there was a solar eclipse, there was a little article that and the expert on solar activity said, "We're coming to find out that everything that we thought we knew about the sun was wrong." Well, that's I'm going to memorize that statement. That'll be on my test, you know. Okay, well, that makes me feel good, you know. But still, even though we see that over and over and over and over and over again in every field, not just, you know, whatever, in every field of activity, we're thinking that we're making progress, and all of a sudden, poof, there's no progress. Still, people don't see the direction that they're going in is the wrong direction. that they're hearing from the wrong source. And why is that? What influence is there? Oh, wait, I have to say one thing. This part of the room can't answer again. Okay, why is that? Oh, why is... Arjuna just doesn't listen. That's okay. I know. But I can explain the question again so that he can understand what the answer is that he can't say. Okay. The question is why is it that even though someone, a scientist or an expert, might say a statement that we're coming to find out that everything we thought we knew about the sun or everything we thought we knew about this disease or everything we thought we knew about, you know, putting roads in properly, everything we thought we knew about this or that, everything we thought we knew about budget, we find out we don't really know. And yet people, when they hear that, they don't necessarily think, well, I'm not going to listen to these guys anymore. I'm going to, you know, turn to the Lord because he's the source of everything. And that's what my problem is that I don't have enough faith in the Lord. So why is it that people don't necessarily, in general, think like that? Olivia? Okay, that's nice. Thank you. Dvijamani? Because they want to become controller. And why is that? Very good. Was some Vaishnava?
Because they think the scientists are facilitating their sense enjoyment.
Oh, yeah. Because the scientists, they think, they know the scientists are facilitating their sense enjoyment, and therefore they're happy with it. Shruti Sarga?
They're covered by the illusory energy.
That's the one. Yeah, they're covered by the influence of the external energy. Thank you. But the external energy is so strong that even one pursues or is going down the wrong path, let's say, and comes upon obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, you don't think of changing your path. You think, let me just adjust the way that I'm going and I'll walk over this, or I'll go this, or I just need to adjust it. Maybe I did it wrong all these 9,000 years before, but if I just change it a little bit, that's the influence, one example of how the illusory energy is so strong. I think I'll read another sentence or two in the purport here. Okay. But I'm going to go back. Okay, the materialistic view of exploitation of the material resources is occasioned by the illusion of the external energy of the Lord. Now, doesn't that make you think of, like, oil? By the external energy of the Lord. And as such, if anyone wants to realize the supreme truth by conceiving of the universal form of the Lord, he must cultivate a service attitude. Unless the service attitude is revived, the conception of the Virat realization will have very little effect on the seer. The transcendental Lord, in any conception of his form, is never a part of the material creation. I'm going to read that one again. The transcendental Lord, in any conception of his form, is never a part of the material creation. He keeps his identity as the Supreme Spirit in all circumstances and is never affected by the three material qualities. For everything material is contaminated. The Lord always exists by his internal energy. So what are some of your realizations about that? Vaishnava sat in the right place today. Otherwise, he would have been included.
Two things I can see is that one cannot realize Supreme Lord on the mental platform. Mm-hmm. And to realize him, you have to develop service attitude.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. Anything else you'd like to Clayton, would you like to add anything to that? Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's pretty much just like repeating the purport, but...
It's okay. Repetition is good.
Yeah, I've noticed that with the Vedas. That simply the Lord is never tainted by his lesser material energy.
Mm-hmm. It mentioned... Thank you. It mentioned about three qualities, particularly that he's not tainted by three qualities. What
he's
does that mean?
He's not tainted by the three modes of material nature.
And those are?
Ignorance, passion, and goodness.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
He's not a part of the material creation because he's transcendental to it. And I don't remember the third one you were...
That's okay. That's good. He keeps his identity separate. Although even in any form, earlier in the purport said, even in any form that he might be known or someone might try to know him, in any of his forms, he has an identity separate from what's to be seen in the material world. Okay, here's another technical part about the universal form. This paragraph. The universe is divided into 14 planetary systems. Yeah. Hang in there. There's a lot of different ways to look at the same thing. Okay, it's going to go. Hang in there. Hang in there, guys. 7 planetary systems, and I'm going to ask you to name them all in order. Okay, no. 7 planetary systems called Bhur, Bhuvar, Svar, Mahar, Janas, Tapas, and Satya are upper planetary systems. There are also, one above the other. So Bhur, that's the earthly planetary system. So Bhur, Bhuvar, Svar, and then up. Svar is like. Okay. There are also 7 planetary systems downward. So if you could accept that the Bhuloka, the earthly planetary system, is the middle, see, middle planetary systems, and then Jhana, Tapas, and Satya are the upper planetary systems. So now it's going to describe some of the lower planetary systems. So there are 3 divisions, but they just have 14 planetary systems inside those 3 divisions. So there are also 7 planetary systems downward known as Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala, gradually one below the other. In this verse, the description begins from the bottom, which was the planetary system that was described at the bottom. Very good. Thank you. And it begins at the bottom because it is the line of because it is in the line of devotion that the Lord's bodily description should begin from his feet. Now, you never would have thought of that on your own, but in the understanding of the Vaishnav literature, understanding of Vaishnav realization, when everyone looks at the form of the Lord, you should begin to look at his feet. And I'm going to ask you another question about that as soon as I finish the last sentence. Sukadeva Goswami is a recognized devotee of the Lord, and he is exactly correct in his description. So what Prabhupada's saying there is that Sukadeva Goswami, he's exactly correct in starting with the description, as the verse said, the patala constitute the bottom of the feet. He's beginning... Even the description of the universal form, which is not the most cozy, personal, loving form of the Lord that you just might want to hug. It's not like that, the universal form. Still begins at his feet. So the description is patala and then upwards. I can't say them in order, but patala, rasatala, matala planets. Upwards to the middle and then further. So here's a little bit more information that I'm only repeating and don't really understand. Okay? So when Lord Brahma manifests from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, I had to make sure because I didn't want to say the wrong one and be corrected. When he manifests from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, he manifests on a lotus flower grows from the Lord's navel. And that stem is there, and then Lord Brahma manifests on top of the lotus flower. So the planetary systems are... They're in the stem. They're on the stem. They're in the stem of the lotus flower. Like I said, I'm just repeating it. I don't understand it, but it's okay. We hear it over and over again. We can just appreciate how it's way beyond our puny little brains, you know. So there's another set of prayers that are offered in the Bhagavatam in the first canto by a very transcendental personality. And she begins her glorification of the Lord from Queen Kunti. Thank you, gentlemen. She begins her glorification of the Lord from where? The abdomen. She's wrong. She should have started at his feet. Can you please explain this? Can you give him the microphone, please?
Prabhupada said because she is Krishna's aunt, it will be awkward for her to start from the feet. So she started from the abdomen, and in circle it becomes fine.
Yes. And she started glorifying Krishna from his abdomen, and then went up to his chest, then to his face, and then down to his feet. And Prabhupada says, in the round, in the circle of everything, it was totally complete. So it's just, so even there, and even here, in this description of the universal form of the Lord, we're getting hints on how we can increase our devotion to the Lord. Because, okay, what's the hint here of how we can increase our devotional attitude towards the Lord when we see the Lord? Service attitude, yes, but it's just what we just read it. It's just this point that we're talking about. Starting from the feet. So when we see the deity, when we glorify the Lord, we should practice, become accustomed to seeing the Lord at his feet and offer our prayers to his feet, and then gradually rise to his smiling face. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam also, there's a correlation there, because Prabhupada says that the Bhagavatam is, if one starts the Bhagavatam in a systematic study from the first canto to the tenth canto, his feet are revealed in the first cantos, and gradually the rest of his body is revealed, and then the tenth canto is like his smiling face. And therefore, again, he stresses that one should hear systematically the Bhagavatam, study the Bhagavatam systematically from the first canto on up, gradually coming to the tenth canto in his smiling face, so that one has a full understanding of the Lord and his potencies and energies. Any questions or comments? Mr. Ocean of Questions from the Shrutis.
There was this one statement in the previous paragraph, the last statement, which said the Supreme Lord only exists by his internal energy. It's the last paragraph.
Uh-huh.
And I don't understand what is that internal energy, and how does he exist?
Exist only in his Well, there's a verse in the Vedas that says, Parashya Shaktar Vividhaya Shru Yate Svabhaviki Jnana Balakriyascha. That's all I know. I only know the two, one line. So, that the Supreme Lord has multi energies, okay? Many energies, many potencies, and he can accomplish anything through the agency of those potencies. Generally, okay, so he has unlimited potencies, and generally they're described, there's division of three: internal potency, external potency, and the marginal potency, okay? So the internal potency is also known as Ladini Shakti, internal potency. The external potency is known as Maya Shakti. And the middle potency is Tatashta.
Okay? So, who's... What kind of people are in those three energies? Somebody saying something? That's three something else's. Okay. The spiritual energy is... Jiva is the marginal, Tathasta in the middle. Okay, correct. There are no people in the material energy. Really? Ah, thanks, you're right. Okay, so in the internal potency or the Ladini potency, now this sentence says, the Lord always exists in His internal potency. And His internal potency is completely the spiritual, purified spiritual existence of the Lord, Ladini Shakti. That's the spiritual world. He exists there. And He has His activities there. He has His person... He manifests Himself fully there. The Tathasta, the marginal energy, the living entities, the conditioned, the jivas, they're there. They have the opportunity to either go either way. Go towards the light or go towards the world of darkness. The Tathasta, middle energy, marginal potency, is compared to... Yeah, like this, like on the line of the beach. So you've got the oceans over there, the beach is over here, and you've got the shoreline. So the shoreline at low tide is dry. But at high tide, it's totally covered. And in the middle, between high tide and low tide, sometimes a wave comes in, and it's wet. Sometimes it doesn't, and it's dry. So it can go either way. So that's the living entity. And so why is it that the living entity can go either? Why didn't Krishna just create us so that we would never forget Him? Gopal? That the spiritual world wouldn't be a perfect place if we didn't have the choice to leave. That God wants us to love Him and it has to be voluntary. He doesn't force us. Although sometimes we... in our immaturity think, well, why did He make us like this? Why didn't He just make us perfect so we wouldn't have to be allured by the illusory potency? But actually, that's what love is. Love is voluntary. Love is voluntary. And in order to manifest love perfectly, we have to voluntarily give our love to the Supreme Lord. So Krishna... in His full potency, in His exists in His internal potency. He has energies that conduct everything perfectly, the material energy, and even energies for His expansions and incarnations. But He, in His full manifested potency, stays only in His internal potency. Anything else? Vaishnava, you got the mic there?
I just got intrigued when you were saying, like, we recite this Om Bhur Swar. Is it like the three planets we are reciting? So
just say that again, the last part. There
we
three
say
what?
Like, when we like make offering to the Havan Kund, we say Om Bhur Bhur Swar Saritur Sar.
So what's your question?
So is the three planets we decide when we...
Well, I'll answer that in 1 minute. Krishna Bodha Joya Moy, Kodin Bada Jiva Joy, Swapa Sadhante Lobai, Sayanam Rita Pau, Radha Krishna Gunaga, Preme Dako Shatatanya Nikai, Jani Manitai, Shura Prabhupada Kija, Go Premanandi Hani Hari Go. So, Vaishnava is asking, when we offer grains into the sacrifice, sometimes we're chanting Om Bhu Bhuva Swatat Savitur Varnyam, and is wanting to know, are we offering to the planetary systems? Well, as far as I can understand, there's different understandings of that. Even in this Brahma Gayatri mantra, I read recently that Sridhar Swami, Prabhupada's godbrother Sridhar Swami, gives an explanation comparing those planetary systems to the mind, body, and word. Like the mind, intelligence, yeah. And then the body being the form of our vehicle of activities. So in other words, we're offering our mind, body, and words, our whole field of activities to the Supreme Lord. That's one understanding.